Gospel of John, chapter 16, verse 33. John 16, verse 33. Ushers, I need to get as much as we can get going this way, so you can open this. Does it open? All right, I'm sorry. I'm trying to give you as much help as I can. Can we open the door? Open that door. Yeah, open that door. Try and get a little cross section. Yeah, see if we get a little cross section. A little bit, because I know it's kind of warm in here. And I'm going to preach for about an hour. I've got a lot to say about Easter. In fact, I've got the 9 points that we're supposed to do. It's all right. They're trying to find their families. Where my mama? The Gospel of John, chapter 16, verse 33. If you have it, would you say amen?
Amen.
Gospel of John, chapter 16, and verse 33. There you'll find these words. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. Listen to the language. In the world, you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You may be seated. Just for us. Amen. We come again, another year. We celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. We gather in this house to show respect, to offer praise, give thanks. For once again, Jesus has done something for us. But as we have come on this morning, I am concerned that we don't just come because it's the holiday. Amen. But that we take under consideration the great magnitude,
oh, yes,
that is associated with this moment. Jesus has done something,
oh, yeah,
just for us.
Thank you.
What's tied to this thing, this event that we call the resurrection? It is, in fact, one of many demonstrations of Christ's authority, but it is also a demonstration of his deep and abiding love for us. And at some point, beloved, he's going to ask you and I, pardon me, what have you done with what I've done for you? What's really happening here is that we need to kind of spend some time addressing the idea of why Jesus came for real. For real. Why did he come for real? Well, there are a couple of things that we need to kind of do. The first thing we need to keep in mind as we are at our meals and in our time of sharing with our families. First thing we need to remember is that Jesus came into the world first to satisfy the holiness of God. It is a subject that is pretty much kicked out of the conversation of modern-day Christianity, but the truth of the matter is that God is holy. He is holy, and his holiness has been offended. His holiness has been offended through disobedience in a garden by the first man that he created. This man violated God's law, separated himself from the will of God, and in doing so, offended the holiness of God. Now, on a couple of occasions around here, I've tried to talk to you about this subject and this idea, but it's very important for us to grab a hold of again so that we can kind of move forward to what we want to talk about here. And that is, please keep in mind that God is absolutely holy.
Thank you.
The God that is presented in the Bible is absolutely pure, absolutely perfect. And he is so pure and so holy that sin is not allowed in his presence. And what he does is he literally puts Adam and Eve out of the garden, thrust them out of the garden because of their violation of his will.
All right.
But before he sends them out, before he puts them out of the garden, we're told that he strips them of their own man-made covering and covers them with animal skin.
Yes, sir.
But to cover them with animal skin, it means that an animal had to die. So early on in the Bible story, we learn of the importance of substitution.
Yes, sir.
That something else dies in the place of those who should die. Jesus came into the world to satisfy the holiness of God. And he does that on a hill outside Jerusalem, in the Hebrew called Golgotha, or Golgotha. It is the place of the skull. It is in the Greek a place called Calvary.
That's right.
And on that hill, our substitute took our place.
That's right.
For you, well, I'm sorry, I don't know you that well. Me, I should have died on that cross for my own guilt and my own stuff. But Jesus came along. And to satisfy the holiness of God, incidentally, if either one of us had died for ourselves, even our death would not have fully satisfied God's holiness. The only one that could satisfy an absolutely holy God is one that was absolutely innocent. And Jesus, being absolutely innocent, suffered and died on the cross for you and I, so that you and I would not have to die. So the first thing is he came to satisfy the holiness of God. But the second thing is he came to fulfill the promises of the scripture.
Yes, sir.
Do you know that all the while that God is dealing with man in the Old Testament, every now and then he throws man a bone to help man see that he actually has a greater and bigger plan in mind? So you got the sacrifice of the animal in the Garden of Eden and all that kind of thing. Then they move right along. Then you come to this place in the wilderness where Israel now has found themselves delivered from Egyptian bondage and brought into this situation. Well, you know, they couldn't get out until a lamb was sacrificed. Come on, y'all. And the blood of the lamb was put on the doorposts, on the two side posts, and on the top, and then God says to them, look, you get inside of the house where the blood is and close the door, because what's going to happen is when I come through Egypt, I'm coming through on a mission. I'm coming through with a purpose, and that is I'm going to kill the first man, the firstborn rather, of man and beast in the land of Egypt. But whenever I see a house that's got some blood applied to it, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to treat you with mercy. Because I could go behind the blood. I could break in the house. If I wanted to, I could go on in. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to limit myself. I'm going to hold myself back. I'm going to restrain myself to the point where when I see blood, I'm going to pass over you. So that everybody that's found behind the blood will be saved. That is an Old Testament illustration of what's going to happen in the New Testament. It's a promise that God makes for the people who are to come. So when Jesus shows up, he literally shows up not only to satisfy the holiness of God, but he also shows up, beloved, to fulfill the promises of Scripture. Everything that God said in the Old Testament about him, Jesus comes along and does exactly what God said. So he came to satisfy the holiness of God. He came to fulfill the scripture. But then finally, and I'm done, he came to give us hope. During life's difficulties.
Yes, sir. Come on, God.
Now, the things you have to grab a hold of is the language that I'm using, and that is, he came to give us hope during life's difficulties. Please hear me, beloved. Jesus did not come to stop life's difficulties, but he came to give us hope during life's difficulties. No, for real. And what he does is he deals with these specific issues during his lifetime before he even gets to the cross to help us understand that there's absolutely nothing that this world can throw at us that we can't make it through.
Thank you.
If I had three people who would just pray, act like they were interested in what I'm talking about. Do you know, do you understand that he who came to satisfy the holiness of God, the absolute holiness of God, where God is offended, and the same one that came to make sure that everything God said would actually come to pass and fall in line exactly the way God said, that same one has also come to make sure that you and I have hope.
Thank you.
Watch. Not to stop things from happening in your life, but to make sure that during those things, you don't lose heart and you don't give up. You don't throw in the towel.
Thank you.
Because there are some things that life is going to hit you with, some of it unexpected, most of it unexpected, things that show up in your life. And if you don't have hope, you're going to live a very depressed and miserable life. But Jesus.
Jesus!
Listen to me, child of God, listen to me. Have you ever wondered, and I know, and if you're like me, you know, there are moments where even when you've impressed people, the congregation, the folks you need to impress, when you go home and you're by yourself. I'm talking about in your real world. Come on, when you're off the stage, and you know you ain't got no suit on, no dress, no church hat, no makeup. You understand? When you're looking at the real you. Come on, I'm not talking about the public you. I'm talking about the real you. There are moments in our lives. There are moments in our lives when we look. And we see ourselves coming through situations, and you scratch your head. Now you know, but you scratch your head trying to figure out how in the world did I get past? Wait a minute. Or how in the world am I making it through?
Jesus!
Come on. Come on. And in the moment when I thought I was out of strength, in the moment when I thought I was out of hope, all of a sudden, for some reason, something kicked in. Come on, man. Come on, brothers. When the wife isn't around, when the children aren't around, and you're in your car, you're by yourself, you're in the bathroom, you know, the private room, you know. You know, the one we go to, you know, amen. When we really want to get down, close the door. Ain't nobody going to come in there but you. Amen. You know. You know, come on, man, come on, you know. And you're looking at your life and you're saying, man, there's absolutely no way in the world I should have made it through that last situation. There's absolutely no way I should be holding on in this moment. And yet, here I am. It's because the same one that came to satisfy the holiness of God, the same one that came to fulfill the scripture, has also come to give you and I hope in the face of life's difficulties. The truth of the matter is, if I can get plain and bold with you here on this Easter Sunday morning, here's the truth. The real truth is, watch this, Jesus is at his best in our lives, not when he stops situations, but when he allows situations and brings us through it. Because the testimony of the child of God becomes more firm when the fire is burning. Come on, help me. But you are not burned up. The flames are all around you. And everything else that comes in contact with this moment is burned up. And yet here you are, fire all around you, but you're not consumed. Because the same one that came to satisfy the holiness of God, the same one that came to fulfill the scripture, is the same one that has come to give you and I hope during life's difficulty. Can I show it to you? Watch
God.
This. Watch
Thank
this.
You.
Watch this. Watch this. Watch
Jesus.
This. Watch. Watch.
Yes, Lord.
So you read the Gospels. Mm. You read the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read the Gospels. You see these things recurring over and over and over
that's
again.
Right?
So then watch this. Before he even starts his public ministry in full, he confronts the devil.
My God.
Y'all ain't there.
Preacher.
He confronts the devil.
Yes,
right?
Sir.
All right. He confronts the devil, and when everything is said and done, he wins the victory over him.
Yes. Jesus!
Thank you.
My Lord.
Then he moves past that, and then he runs into people who are demon-possessed. Watch this. And when he runs into a demon-possessed person, here's what he does. He casts out the demon. So he gets the victory over them. Are y'all with me? No, I know. I need you here. See, you got to grab this because there is a host that work against us that we can't see. So how do you win over an enemy that you can't see? Well, Jesus would say to us this morning, "Don't worry about it, because I've already overcome." Wait a minute. Listen, this truth is so critical and so real for the child of God. This is one of the reasons why I'm glad I'm a Christian. Listen to this. This thing is so real and so true. Watch this. Then on one occasion, the demons see him coming. If I had three Bible readers in the house. On at least one occasion, the demons see him coming. And when they see him coming, they panic. Do I have anybody here? They get nervous. In fact, they get so nervous, they say, "Look, we know you're going to do something. We don't know what you're going to do. We know you're going to do something." So here's what they say. They say, "Look, there's some pigs over there." Does anybody read the Bible, Ryan? Yeah. He said that there's some pigs. The demons are talking to Jesus now. There's some pigs over there. You know, allow us. Here it is. Look, he says, "Give us permission to go in the pigs." Now, please notice, first of all, they're terrified of him. And then secondly, listen, they got to get his permission to go in pigs. And if, in fact, they got to get permission to deal with pigs, I wish I had somebody in here. If they can't even get in a pig without his permission, then child of God, what you worried about? So he gets the victory over the devil.
Yes, sir.
He gets victory over the demon. And then on a number of occasions, third thing, he gets involved. Again, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, just read through them and hear what you see is that you find people with these physical maladies, these physical diseases. You got it? Physical diseases. And so he deals with people who are sick. And on at least one occasion, a woman says, "I've been this way for 12 years. In fact, I've lost all my money going to doctors. They ain't helped me at all." Come on, y'all. In fact, in this moment, she couldn't even get a hearing with Jesus because he was moving rapidly through town. But here's what she said. She said, "If I can just touch," come on, "the bottom of his robe," the hem, "if I could just somehow get to the bottom of his hem, I can get a hold of everything that I need." Somehow or another, she presses her way through the crowd and probably pushed and knocked around a little bit. She may have fallen, but her hand gets out enough to touch the bottom of his robe. And the Bible says, whatever her problem was, is healed. Watch now, because he gets victory over demons. He gets victory over the devil. And he gets victory over diseases.
Thank you.
But that ain't all.
My Lord.
Again, this casual reading through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Here's what you find. He not only defeats the devil and demons and has victory over disease, but look at this. He got power over distance. No, come on. On one occasion, a boy comes to him and says, look, my servant is sick at home. And Jesus said, okay. He said, no. I live too far away. Ain't no time for all that. In fact, the truth of the matter is that I'm not worthy that you even come to my house. He said, but what I would like for you to do is, if you don't mind, just speak a word.
Hallelujah!
I'm done. No, I'm sorry, because even the saints ain't going with me this morning. It's so hot. The saints ain't going. He said, all I need you to do, no, don't come to my house, because I'm not worthy that you even show up at my house. But if you just speak a word. He says, yeah. And the reason why I come this way is because I am a man that's in authority. Come on, help me. But I exercise authority because I'm under authority. Come on, help me. And I know what authority can do. The truth of the matter is that if you got the power, you ain't got to show up. Just speak up. Come on, y'all. All he says is just speak the word. And the Bible says that Jesus said, go home, your servant is well. The man gets home a few hours later, gets to his house, finds his servant up doing well. And the man said, when did it happen? And the people said, it happened at this hour. And the man knew that the moment they talked about was the exact time that Jesus spoke, because he's got power, he's got victory over distance. What that means is he can get to you. He can get to me. No matter where we are, Jesus can find us. So he has victory over the devil. He has victory over demons. He has victory over diseases. He has victory over distance.
Yes, sir.
But then there's one more. Uh-huh. One more of life's difficulties that we have to face.
My.
And that's death. I don't care how good you are, you are going to die. It is guaranteed. You can do everything you want to. I was thinking the other day, I'm from Philadelphia, and those of you who have been around, you remember Grace Kelly, the actress Grace Kelly? Well, you know, her family was from the suburbs of Philadelphia. She had a brother named Jack Kelly. Jack Kelly was a very prominent businessman in the Philadelphia area for years. And one of the things that was impressive about him is that even as he's gotten older, he kept exercising.
That's right.
So he was a exercise nut. I don't mean it like that, because we got some exercise people around here pushing and all that. I ain't calling nobody a nut in here. I'm just saying that he enjoyed exercise. So he'd run. And he loved it. And so one morning he went out running and ran and died. In fact, he died doing what he loved. Because at some point, it's going to catch up with you.
Jesus.
But Jesus has come,
yes, sir,
to give us hope.
Thank you.
In the face of life's difficulties.
Right.
Even death.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. I mean, he was so awesome in dealing with this stuff that even before he went to Calvary, he was, you know, confronting death and handling business. You know what I mean? He would walk past the town. They were coming out. The funeral procession was on the way to the cemetery. He stopped the procession, touched the casket. Boy, got up from the dead. He bad. Just bad. Then kept on moving, as if it was a casual occurrence. Just kept on moving.
Then one day he was doing what he do. In fact, the same day the woman touched the hem of his garment. He on the way to a house, a fellow named Jairus, whose daughter had died, he walks in and says, "She's all right, she's just sleeping." Everybody laughed. "Ah, you crazy. But when he breathed on that child, she got up, but nobody laughing anymore. Because he was confronting death the whole time. Then Lazarus dies, stays there 4 days. He shows up. He tells them to move the stone. The sisters say, "Please, he stinks by now." He says, "Move the stone." And then he says, "Lazarus, come forth." Come on, y'all. And the dead man got up. And it's a good thing. The old theologian says it's a good thing when he got to that grave that he called Lazarus by name. Because if he had just said, "Get up." It had been a movement down in Bethany. My Lord. So he's already confronted death and shown that he has power over death. Uh-huh. But the real test, you see, you don't understand how you'll do in a situation until you get in it. The real test is not calling dead men and women from death and out of death. That's not the real test. The real test is, what do you do when you die? So one Friday, they put him to the test. Yes, they nailed his hands, nailed his feet, put him on the cross, hung him up, went on about their business. After a little while, wrapped him up in linen cloth like they would do any other dead person and put him inside of a tomb. The old preacher said, though, they needed to remember that it was a borrowed tomb. And whatever you borrow, you got to give it back. Went right over your head. I'm sorry, I got to go. Went inside the tomb and stayed there all night Friday, stayed there all night Saturday, but early Sunday morning. He who had died got up from the grave with all power in his hand. Now, I'm done. But here's the deal. For all of the cynics in the room, for all of you who are now questioning and saying, like I did 35, 40 years ago, I say, how you know that preacher? You weren't there. How you know that? How do you know that he got up? All this stuff, how you know he got, well, you know, I could ask that question this morning of you because y'all here. Moving right along. No, I mean, come on now. Some of y'all got dressed, got ready, got your children, and you came to church. You here. So we're posing this question to people who at least got some sense of something happening. Maybe not all the story, but you understand something happened. That's why you are here. Wait. Now, I get in trouble, but I'm going to go ahead and do this and get out of the way. I get in trouble if I suggested that your being here today is evidence that he got up. Come on. Amen. I'm sorry. I don't hoop, y'all. I'm sorry. Those of you who visit, I don't hoop. I'm not a hoop. I can't, you know, I don't throw my leg up and grab the microphone and run around. That's not who I am. And especially not now. 57, I ain't doing none of that now. If you had caught me 30 years ago, maybe I would have done, but not now. I don't do that anymore. I don't do that no more. Listen to me. Your life here today is evidence that he got up. Because it is in him and because of him, I might add, that we live and move and have our very being. We live today because he got up. This morning, I'm here to tell you that he has come, satisfying the holiness of God to fulfill the scripture, but also to give us hope in the face of life's difficulty. You can handle it. You can make it if you will surrender, thank you, sir, yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm done, but I believe with all of my heart, this verse is not a verse for super saints, none of that, but as it deals with life situations, because he lives, we can testify with the Apostle Paul, I can do all things. No matter what life throws at me, Easter Sunday gives me hope. It gives me evidence that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Let us pray. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for all that you've done today. I thank you for being in this place with us, and thank you for allowing us to move and be in this house, and thank you for your great faithfulness to us and how much you love us. We give you all glory and all honor. Now, God, we pray that you would find your people in the position, cause them, Father, to humble themselves and yield before you today and come to you agreeing that without you they can do nothing. But with you all things are possible. Lord, save right now the person that is farthest from you. Draw them to yourself. Add to our gathering those that will bring honor and glory to your name. We give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand all over the building, wherever you are. We extend to you an invitation this morning to meet the Lord Jesus. First call this morning. If you have never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, we need you to come forward and give yourself to the Master. Listen, it is no shame that you don't know him. It's no shame that you have not received him.